Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 10 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Memorial Day, Monday, May the 28th. Last week, my producer Leo Duran filled up his car, and what usually costs him an average of $25 turned into a $45 bill. He's not alone. Many people throughout the nation are experiencing pain at the pump. And our guest this hour will explain how it goes beyond that. High gas prices are affecting the financial picture for families. We'll find out more, and you can join in to tell us about your experiences. Have high gas prices changed the way your family lives? Are you changing your driving or lifestyle habits because of the high gas prices? High gas prices or not, the AAA is reporting that millions of people are not letting a holiday weekend go to waste. AAA says about 38 million Americans are traveling 50 miles or more from their home for the Memorial Day weekend. The jump comes with near-record gas prices, which AAA says will average around $3.04 a gallon for self-serve regular nationwide. In Wisconsin, though, gas prices are higher. $3.39 at my neighborhood station. According to WisconsinGasPrices.com, the lowest price for gas today in Wisconsin for regular is $3.24 a gallon, the highest $3.51. If you go for unleaded, in Racine, a station is selling that for $3.79 a gallon. Wow. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. How are you dealing with the high gas prices, and has it changed your plans for this Memorial Day weekend because of the high gas prices? Our guest is Dan Weiss. He is a senior fellow and director of climate strategy for the Center for American Progress. The center recently released the report, Pain in the Gas: Volatile Gas Prices Wreak Havoc on Household Family Planning, Financial Planning. And he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So how bad is this for family budgets?
Well, gas prices are about to hit a record high. Not since 1981 has gas been so expensive. And it takes a big chunk out of family budgets. When you're starting out at the beginning of the year and you're assuming that you have to spend a certain amount of money commuting to and from work, if gas prices go up, that makes your trip to work more expensive. And what families are doing then is they're cutting back in other ways. Either they're taking shorter trips, they're not spending as much on other things, or they're reducing their savings, which is not only important to them, but important to the economy as a whole. And just for example, just last week, Outback Steakhouse reported higher losses than expected. And the reason they cited was high gasoline prices. They've had fewer customers because people can't afford to come in.
Isn't that something? Yeah, that's what the AAA report says. People are still driving around from the Memorial Day weekend, but they are apparently reporting that they're going to maybe pack their own food and they're not going to stop at restaurants and spend as much money.
Exactly. And so this is going to have ripple effects throughout the economy. And what happens is, the extra price we're paying for gasoline goes in the pockets of the oil companies who are making record profits. Already in the first 3 months of this year, they're on track to break their record for the amount of money they're going to make.
Yeah. So what's the implication of your report? What does your group think ought to happen?
Well, the high gasoline prices are due to several factors. First of all, that demand for gasoline keeps rising. Second is there's a shortage of the ability to refine oil into gasoline. And third is that the oil companies are taking the profits that we're making and keeping the money rather than reinvesting it into more refining capacity. So the first thing we need to do is let's figure out ways to reduce demand for gasoline. That would be several things. We could expand the use of biofuels, fuels made out of corn or other grown products, in order to reduce the use of oil. Second would be much better fuel economy. let's make our cars go further in a gallon of gas. That would also reduce demand. Third, let's provide more assistance for people to take transit in the short run, because that way we can get them out of their cars and onto buses or trains where those options are available. Then we're going to reduce demand for gasoline.
We are talking with Dan Weiss. He is Senior Fellow and Director of Climate Strategy for the Center for American Progress. We're talking about high gas prices and how those high gas prices are affecting the family budget and the economy overall, and talking about what should be done about higher gas prices. And we welcome your thoughts and questions for him at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, 17 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, Memorial Day, May the 28th. Coming up this afternoon, it's At Issue with Ben Marins. And after 4 o'clock on this Memorial Day, Ben and his guest will talk about how Memorial Day started and why it continues to be observed. You'll be talking with Ken Davis, author of Don't Know Much About History, about the history of Memorial Day after 4 o'clock this afternoon. On this Memorial Day, when many people take to the road, we are talking about high gas prices and wondering, how are you coping with the high gas prices? 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Are you cutting back on your driving? Are you cutting back on other expenses that deal with road trips? What do you think ought to be done about the high gas prices? According to a new AP poll, half of those surveyed say that the high gas prices are causing serious hardship, and it has prompted an increasing number of people to say they are considering buying a car that gets better gas mileage. We are talking with a guest who says that better gas mileage should be one of the policy changes that does result from these near-record gas prices around the country. He is Dan Weiss, Senior Fellow and Director of Climate Strategy for the Center for American Progress. We are talking about the center's recently released report, Pain in the Gas, Volatile Gas Prices Wreak Havoc on Household Financial Planning. And we welcome your questions for him, 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. talk@wpr.org. Dan Weiss, I wanted to ask your reaction, though, to other polls that are out there, including this AP poll, that says that gas prices will have to approach or be at $4 a gallon or more and stay there for about a year to really trigger a shift in our lifestyle habits and our driving habits. What do you think?
Well, you know, that may be so in terms of whether or not people are going to sell the car they have and buy a new, much more efficient one, because that's an expensive outlay for people. We just did a poll which we found two-thirds of those surveyed would like to have it required that cars get an average of 40 miles per gallon. And this was true for Republicans, Democrats, and Independents alike. So people do want to buy cleaner cars and cars that can go further on a gallon of gas, but they're simply not available in the way that they want them. Now, you know, the automakers have made these so-called flexible fuel vehicles that can use a fuel that's mostly ethanol, but it's not very available. There's, about 65 or so stations in Wisconsin where you can buy it, but say in California, which has more cars than anywhere else in America, there's one service station in the whole state where you can buy this gasoline made out of ethanol rather than oil, which would help reduce the cost of regular gasoline. So one of the things we need to do is we need to make biofuels more available, as well as making cars cleaner.
We'll go to the phones. Caleb in Madison is with us first. Hi, Caleb, you're on the air.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I had a comment for your guest, not so much a question, but a couple weeks ago I was crunching some numbers, and we're all used to buying our electricity in kilowatt hours, and we're familiar with that measurement of energy for electricity. But very seldom does anybody think about energy in their gasoline. And your guest mentioned record gas prices in 1981. Well, in 1981, our gas was straight gasoline, 100% gasoline, and it did not contain ethanol. And I think it would be interesting to consider the gas price today is typically including a 10% blend of ethanol, which means it has a significantly lower energy content than gasoline in 1981.
So what you're saying is that the gasoline back then, though as expensive as now, actually provided more energy. So in effect, the amount that you can drive based on the cost this year is actually higher. That's the caller's point. And that could be true. I don't have the numbers in front of me. But there's no question that gasoline prices are going to continue to get higher, thereby breaking the record in 1981 and, you know, making it harder for families to travel. Let me give you an example. We figured out that if you were trying to go from Madison, Wisconsin to Nashville for vacation, under the prices at the beginning of the year, you could do the trip. But if the with the prices as they are now, you could probably get to the Kentucky border. If prices continue to go up, and go to $4 a gallon, you wouldn't even make it to the Indiana-Kentucky border.
It's funny you should mention $4 a gallon, and I'll be brief. But when I crunched the numbers, gas is $2.89 a gallon. And I know my math is rough, and I know my figures are probably off. I'm not a scientist. But when I crunched the numbers, a gallon of gasoline was $2.89, and you could buy it at that price for 100% gasoline at a Shell station or for a 10% blend of ethanol at a BP station. To get the equivalent energy from the BP station, you would actually spend $4.04. And so the $4 mark is something that we really haven't considered too much, but that is the disparity in the energy content of our gasoline today.
That's very interesting. And, you know, if we had cars that went further on a gallon of gas, mm-hmm. whether it's ethanol, gasoline blend, or pure gasoline, that would reduce the problem that you just talked about.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Caleb, for the call. There, I thought he was also going to go to the argument that more ethanol, actually producing the ethanol, and corn-based in particular, expends more energy than you get from it. Do you have any information on that?
Well, there's been all kinds of studies, some that show that and some that show that there's a slight energy benefit from going with corn-based ethanol, where the real hope lies in what's called cellulosic ethanol, which is ethanol made out of plant waste. So you could use the corn to feed cattle and then take the corn stalks and make them into ethanol. That would be very energy efficient. Unfortunately, that has not yet been commercialized, although we're getting closer to that point. When that should be commercialized, that will help reduce prices a lot. But again, we still have this issue of being able to buy the fuels. And although in the Midwest right now you can buy, ethanol, you really can't buy it anywhere outside the Midwest, even though there's 5 million cars that could use it right now if you could buy the fuel. Mm. And it's the oil companies that play a role in keeping service stations from buying the gas, selling ethanol.
Next we go to Randy in Green Bay. Hi, Randy.
Hi, good morning. I've taken to riding my motorcycle more. I'm getting 45 miles per gallon on the motorcycle. It's more fun, and I burn more calories on the motorcycle than sitting in a car. Plus, my next vehicle will probably be a hybrid, and I did find a dealership in La Crosse that deals in nothing but pre-owned used hybrids. Also, I read an in-depth article in the Rochester Post-Bulletin recently about a study they did on ethanol. Currently, it's providing 4% of our fuel needs, and even if we burned every kernel produced in the United States, kernels of corn produced in the United States, it would still only make about a 12% dent. And using so much corn for ethanol and a lot of these ethanol plants going online have driven the cost of corn up, which increases the cost to livestock producers that use corn as feed, and corn goes into so many products, Prices at the grocery store are also going up, so it's kind of a double whammy, and I agree with your guest in that a cellulose-based biofuel is probably the answer, something like switchgrass.
Dan
yeah, Rice? I think, Randy, it sounds like you're doing a lot of the right things to do. Something else that listeners can do to increase their fuel economy is make sure their tires are properly inflated. That can reduce fuel consumption by 4%, which with these high prices, it's no matter. Ultimately, I think the solution is two things. One is cellulosic ethanol based on other things besides corn. And second is enhanced fuel economy. Right now, we've got off-the-shelf technologies that the auto companies could use that they're not using on cars and trucks to make them go further on a gallon of gas.
Why not?
They think it's cheaper to not put the extra equipment on. Things like electric power steering. You could have an improved efficiency alternator and improved efficiency of your air conditioner and a low-leak air conditioner, dual cam fixing, things like that. All of those things could increase the fuel efficiency of cars. Automakers aren't using them now. We ought to require that cars get up to 40 miles per gallon down the road, and that combined with cellulosic ethanol can dramatically reduce our demand for oil and thereby reduce gasoline prices.
Thanks, Randy, very much for the call. Enjoy riding your motorcycle. Albert in Milwaukee is with us now. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. I guess I blame us more than anybody else. The fact is that since 1970, we've been warned about this. Back in those days, it said 50 is thrifty. Well, whenever I drive on the highway, I'm like guys that goes 55. When I go on the highway, everybody passes me up. I can't count any cars I've ever passed on the highway. I even see Priuses, these small cars, and motorcycle drivers zooming by me. I mean, it's a lie when they say they're upset. Oh, yeah, they're upset, all right, but that's it. They won't slow down, and, you know, they just fork out the money. Mm-hmm. Well, we stayed in Milwaukee. We didn't go anywhere this weekend. When we go to a gas station, we don't buy anything. We just get the gas, and that's it. No sodas, no cookies, no nothing, because it's just too much.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is, people are responsible for this. They go for, even the Prius is going, God knows how fast, it just zooms right by me. And these people are so-called concerned, but they drive quite fast no matter what kind of a car they have.
Yeah.
You know, the caller is right, is that after the first oil shock in 1973, the United States took a number of steps to reduce our consumption of fuel, including adopting fuel economy standards that within 10 years close to doubled our fuel economy. But for the last 20 years, we've had no improvements in fuel economy, and we've taken other measures like a 55-mile-hour speed limit, which would save fuel off the books. So we've actually moved backwards as the world has gotten to be a more dangerous place, and as the oil we've gotten to increasingly comes from unstable regimes, which makes the possibilities of another oil shock all the more real.
We're talking with a guest who says that the high gas prices of late are a real pain, not only for the family budget, but for the economy in general. And it's time we do something about high gas prices, like increased fuel economy for cars. We welcome your thoughts and questions for him, and we'll continue after this check of the news. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you with us on this Monday morning, May the 28th, Memorial Day, one of the biggest weekends for travel, and it's going to mean big fuel bills if you're on the road. The price of gas near record highs in Wisconsin this morning. I drove by my neighborhood gas station, $3.39 a gallon. As of this morning in Wisconsin, or at least in Madison, Wisconsin. We are talking about how high gas prices are affecting your budget and the economy, and what should be done about these ever-volatile gas prices. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890. Are you cutting back on driving? Are you cutting back in other areas? Are you looking for a more fuel-efficient car? Do you think the government should force car manufacturers to produce more fuel-efficient cars? Our guest, Dan Weiss, is a senior fellow and director of climate strategy for the Center for American Progress. We are talking about the center's recently released report, Pain in the Gas, Volatile Gas Prices Wreak Havoc on Household Financial Planning. And Dan, I do have a relative who lives on a very tight budget. She's recently divorced, mother of two, really limited income, living paycheck to paycheck. And this is really throwing her for a loop because she doesn't spend a whole lot of money on entertainment and restaurants, and there's not a lot of areas to cut back on.
Yeah, it's very tough because if you were planning your budget based on gasoline prices in December at $2.30 a gallon, and you don't have any excess capacity in your budget, then you're paying almost a dollar more a gallon already, and that money's got to come from somewhere. And so it means you have to cut back on the necessities. It's very tough. And what's interesting is if we had 35 mile a gallon for average fuel economy, that would save the average family at least $700 over today's prices. So it would make a huge difference to people who live paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah. We had a couple of callers in our first half hour also talk about hybrids a lot, and you haven't talked a lot about those. Is that a good option for people? It's not an option for my low-income relative.
Hybrids are a great option for people. Hybrids get 50 miles per gallon plus. But what we found is that in doing opinion research that people think that they're great ideas, but that you have to be able to make a down payment on a new car in order to buy a hybrid, for instance. Now, I believe it was Randy from Green Bay said that there was a place near him in La Crosse that sells used hybrids, but that's probably tough for most people to find that. That's a pretty rare thing, because since hybrids are so new, people are still driving, the original owners are still driving them. So I think it is an option, but again, if you're in a very tight budget situation, that's not really going to be an option for you. The best thing that you can do in the immediate time is make sure your tires are well inflated, drive sparingly, combine trips. So if you're going to the store and do it on the way to work or on the way home from work, if that's possible, if public transit's an option, that's something that should be looked at. Those are things that you can do in the short run to help with a really tight gas budget.
Jack in Madison is with us now. Hi, Jack.
Hi. Yes, I think that your guest is underemphasizing the magnitude of our crisis. And we import in this state most of the oil and gasoline that we use. And most of the problem is going to be people becoming self-sufficient. And that doesn't mean, like, maintaining the lifestyle that we've had for the last 100 years. We're going to have to drastically change the way we do business, and that means getting out of our cars and forgetting about hybrids. You know, it takes 75 barrels of oil to manufacture a hybrid. Hello?
I'm sorry, Jack, you're done. So you just want to make a point that hybrids aren't the answer. We've got it. What do you mean we got to get out of our cars? We have to stop driving altogether, Jack?
Well, madam, where is the oil coming from? We're running out. How do people expect to be living 10 years from now, 20 years from now?
Yeah, maybe on cars that don't require gas, Dan Weiss?
Yes. You know, the caller makes a good point, which is that in order to address our global warming problems, we're going to have to make changes. And the sooner we make them, the less drastic they're going to have to be. There's no reason why within 10 years, fuel economy cannot average 40 miles per gallon. We have the technology. What we lack is the political will. There's no reason why we can't continue to invest in cellulosic ethanol so we can use all kinds of plants to make into fuel for cars. There's no reason why we can't invest more in transit to get people off the roads altogether. These are all things that we could do that would not only reduce our costs for drivers, but also reduce global warming pollution and create good jobs. Yeah. These are all things we need to do. The technology is there. What we don't have right now is the will from the big corporations who either run the oil companies or the auto companies or the political will to take them on.
Yeah, I think Jack's point was that sometime we're going to run out of oil at some point, and we're not going to be able to, even at 40 miles a gallon, we won't have that oil to put in our cars.
Well, that's really less of a question than what the side effects are of using all this oil. We're buying oil from unstable regimes right now, some of whom support people who are against the United States, and we're increasing global warming every time we burn a gallon of gasoline in our car. That's really going to hurt us far more than actually running out of oil worldwide. Now, there's a bigger problem in the U.S., which is that we only have 3% of the world's oil here, and yet we use about one quarter of it. So we're really the oil hogs of the world, and if we can reduce our use of oil, it will have all kinds of benefits, creating jobs, reducing global warming, and making our country actually more secure from nations and individuals who don't like us.
Thank you, Jack. Moving now to Paul in Monona. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, thank you. I was wondering, I think that if the federal government wanted to do the things that you wanted to do, you know, create jobs in a new industry and address global warming, they would have met with you years ago when they formulated the energy policy, but they met with Ken Lay and the gas and oil industry. And so what I was wondering is, what do we have? Do you have any idea of what they're operating on about what's going on in the world and what is the prognosis for them, you know, making their profits and keeping their company strong?
Well, I can't tell you what their long-term plans are, but it is from publicly available information. The oil companies have done very well for themselves over the last couple of years as we've had very high gasoline prices. For example, from 2005 till now, the five biggest oil companies have made $250 billion in profit. $250 billion in profit. And instead of investing that money in more refining capacity or in research into cellulosic ethanol or other things, they've been buying back their stock, which increases the profits of the company and reduces the amount that they have to answer to shareholders. So it's clear that the oil companies have their own agenda, and that agenda doesn't really line up very well with what's in the best interest of you and me.
We are talking with Dan Weiss, Senior Fellow, Director of Climate Strategy for the Center for American Progress. We're talking about the center's recently released report, Pain in the Gas: Volatile Gas Prices Wreak Havoc on Household Financial Planning, in which it details how the skyrocketing and volatile gas prices are indeed taking a big bite out of the family budget and the economy in general, because as gas prices go up, families are cutting back on other consuming. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We're also talking about the Center for American Progress's agenda for change and what should happen because of these high gas prices. And we wonder what you think and what questions you have and how these high gas prices are affecting you. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll stay tuned. It's 13 minutes before 7 o'clock right now, and after 7, it's our state capitol report on this Memorial Day. Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, will be in to take a look at what the state legislature is up to. And we'll also welcome in after 7:30 the chair of the Veterans and Military Affairs Committee to talk about what the state is doing for veterans on this Memorial Day. Right now, we're talking about high gas prices and how it's affecting our family budgets and how it's affecting the economy in general and what our guest says ought to be done about high gas prices. He is Dan Weiss with the Center for American Progress, 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890 if you want to talk about high gas prices. Perry in Ramsey, Michigan is with us. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi.
Sorry, was it Perry?
Perry, yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. There's a little bit of problems with some of the the gas that we are using with the ethanol and stuff, some of the cars are not designed for it. It does burn up the pistons sometimes with the older ones. And also, if you try with a little bit of alcohol like they do with the race cars, it does burn real clean. But if you have a fire, you can't really tell at times. But anyway, I drive 100 miles a day to and from work. And that's so I can have a better paying job. I drive a newer car, but it gets good gas mileage. And I don't have ethanol because the car is not designed for it. I also have another car that's a 92 Ford Vestiva, and it takes the height test. And at this time, I can't drive that because I can't afford the gas, and the car is also falling apart. So mm-hmm. when you get a car that is a good car, that does get good gas mileage, you run it into the ground.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
with
100 miles a day commute, Perry, wow, that's really got to be taking a bite out of your wallet.
Yeah, and you know that what's interesting is that that's about four times as much as the average commute across the country. And what that means is at the beginning of this year when gas was an average of $2.31 a gallon, you would be able to drive that. Now, assuming you've set aside the same amount of money, you could drive about, two-thirds of that because gas prices are about a third higher now. And so that really puts a crimp into a family budget. There's no question about it. And we need to do a whole host of things to help people like Perry. Let's get the oil companies taking some of their big profits. Let's get them to invest in clean alternatives. Let's make our cars go further on a gallon of gas so when Perry does buy a new car, instead of getting 28 or 30 miles a gallon, it gets 35 or 40 miles to a gallon. And let's invest in coming up with gasoline alternatives that will reduce demand for oil and that can then help lower gasoline prices.
Well, right now I've gotten up to 500 miles per tank, and it's a 13-gallon tank.
What do you drive?
I drive a Focus.
Uh-huh.
And the hybrid, it's like your hybrids.
Yeah.
A lot of people cannot afford those hybrids.
That's right. In fact, there are tax credits and things like that available to help people buy hybrids. But if you can't afford the down payment, then the tax credit's really not going to help you all that much. The only thing I can tell you to do right now, Perry, in the short run, is make sure your tires are well inflated. Mm-hmm. And if there's a way to combine your trip to work with other trips that you need to make, that could help a little bit too.
Yeah, thanks very much, Perry,
for the
call. That's a lot of driving. Well, let me take another call. We have many other callers waiting. Steele in Appleton, good morning.
Good morning. Hey, just a comment. My father is a military man, and we were stationed in Europe in the early 70s, and it's nice to see all little motorcycles around here in Appleton. It reminds me of all the mopeds in Europe. And bicycles were a big thing, and along the sidewalks they had a separate road for the bicycles with sometimes their own stop signs.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just in Washington State for a year, and I was reading online in the town of Bellingham, they had a big deal with on Bicycle Day, ride your bicycle, and a lot of places would have donuts and stuff, little places where people could stop and to promote riding bike, and they were expecting their largest turnout yet. I guess they've been doing it for a few years. And if everyone would just stop jamming on the gas pedal from the stoplight and coast to the red light, my mother has a big old car, and it has a readout, and I get 3 miles to gallon better than my mother does, and so I bug her. Anyway.
Because she guns it at the stop sign, Steele?
I'm sorry?
Because she guns it?
Well, everybody does.
Yeah.
But, you know, you just think
of how
you step on the gas, and I get 3 miles per gallon better than she does. So
yeah.
Every little bit helps.
Thank you very much, Steele, for the call. But I'm wondering, do you hop on your bike more often now? Or
I had a bicycle, but I don't. Unfortunately, the doc said I shouldn't do a bike for my knee, but I used to ride 100 miles a day when I was a young punk. But anyway.
Yeah, well, what about alternative transportation, Dan Weiss?
Well, yeah, that's got to be a part of it as well. Particularly in more urbanized places, we need to offer alternatives to cars, including rapid bus, rail, bikes. People, cities need to be designed with low energy use transit as a part of it, so you have denser development. People can live closer to where they work, which will reduce their commutes. All of these things are long-term solutions to, or long-term pieces of solution to our dependence on oil. In the short run, those are tough changes to make. You know, I actually bike to work about half the time, but if I had a job where I lived 30 miles away from work instead of 10 miles away from work, that wouldn't be possible. And so I think that those are have to be pieces of solution, but I also think we need to do some immediate things, too, right now, which is let's get more investments in refining capacity, let's help people with transit, let's make E85 and or ethanol and other fuels, alternative fuels, more available, and let's get the oil companies who are sitting on some of those profits to reinvest back in cleaner, cheaper, different fuels for everybody else.
Yeah. Are you optimistic that things are going to change, that these changes you're calling for will actually happen? I mean, after all, last summer we saw these record highs too, and I guess now maybe we're just getting used to it.
I think that it is possible, but people who care about this mm-hmm. need to let their elected officials know that they want these kinds of changes, that they want better fuel economy, that mm-hmm. they want to take some of the oil company profits and invest them in clean energy, that they want to make sure that clean fuels are available all across the country. It's really, people really need to talk to their elected officials. Also, to learn more about this whole issue, people should go to our website, which is American Progress, which is one word, AmericanProgress.org, and they'll see a whole bunch of things that can be done.
George in Eagle River sent us an email. Eagle River happens to be a real beautiful area and also a tourist area. Along with the discussion this hour, he writes, I would like to hear some talk about the unnecessary recreational use of gasoline. One of the least necessary uses is lawn mowing, but also boats and ATVs and all of this vacation travel. You want to comment on the recreational use of gasoline?
Well, there's no question that people who use an ATV or, you know, go on a cigarette speedboat are going to be burning up a high degree amount of gasoline, and that's going to increase demand and that's going to raise prices. The more we provide alternatives for cars, the more those mm-hmm. alternatives could be used by those sorts of recreational vehicles as well.
And get a push mower instead of the electric mower? Or, I mean, the gasoline-powered mower?
Yeah, or an electric mower mm-hmm. will reduce mm-hmm. pressure on gasoline as well. So, in fact, one of the cars of the future people believe are going to actually be plug-in hybrids, mm-hmm. hybrids that work on a battery and also have a motor that is an electric motor, so that when you are not driving it, you plug it in and recharge it instead of using gasoline to recharge your battery like in a current hybrid. And that may be the future car, but that's, you know, that technology is not commercialized yet. And in the interim, there's other steps that we can take that are using on-the-shelf technologies to make cars go further and to buy cleaner fuels.
Albert in Westby is with us now. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, good morning. How are you?
Good.
All right, real quick, corn is, it's just a fact of the matter, corn is a net energy loser. You're only going to get a 0.8 to 1 return on corn, and that's not even taking into account the petrochemicals that they use to fertilize it for pesticides and herbicides. Now, hemp is a 3 to 1. You don't need the pesticides, you don't need the herbicides, you get more yield, you also get more cellulose so you can make more ethanol and methanol. The other thing that I would like to bring up is a documentary based on where they talked about who killed the electric car. You see, now here in the state of Wisconsin, we get actually 25% cash rebate on solar panels for our homes, and that's tied into another 30% federal rebate, cash rebate on the, so mm-hmm. basically 55% rebate on solar panels in your homes. Now, something that people can do is invest in that, put that into their house, because that's just talking about a future investment. I mean, if you're going to sit there and get a system that costs around $8,000 to $9,000 after your tax rebate, and you're going to be generating 3.5 kilowatt hours a day, you could certainly have a car that's an electric vehicle.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Albert, I need to jump in because we have less than a minute for our guest to comment. We've already talked a lot about ethanol and corn-based ethanol maybe not being the best. What about, you want to briefly on hemp-based ethanol?
Well, I have not heard of that, but you know, it's clear we need to move to other feedstocks to make ethanol, and that's where cellulosic ethanol has its best hope. And, you know, I agree with the caller about using solar energy, but you got to make sure that you can get hooked up to the grid so you can sell energy back to the electric company, which isn't always possible in all places. And second, for a family whose budget is stretched tight, even though you may get a tax rebate, laying out that extra cash may be tough.
And for more information, your website again?
AmericanProgress.org.
Thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you, Joy.
Dan Weiss is with the Center for American Progress. The center released the report, Pain in the Gas, Volatile Gas Prices, Wreak Havoc on Household Financial Planning. And you can see that report on the website as well. Thanks to him for joining us. Thanks to Leo Duran for producing the hour. Thanks to Cheryl Gasser and Christina Taylor for on-air production. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.